This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA for the latest from the markets and a look ahead to next week. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny, I'm good.
Of course, we've got a short week next week. We'll talk about that in a moment or two. But what about the last 24 hours or so? We spoke yesterday, and I suppose the big news is that the Bank of Japan has raised interest rates to a 30-year high. Although when you look at that 30-year high, it's actually not very much, 0.75% in comparison to everybody else. That seems pretty darn low. But historically, that is a 30-year high. So what was significant was the forward guidance, wasn't it, in terms of what rate hikes or otherwise might come in the next few months?
Yes. I mean, that's basically a good way of putting it. It's always about, obviously, the forward-looking kind of outlook from a central bank. And there was a lot of drama around the Bank of Japan this week leading up to this event, because we have already seen a lot of tech jitters. We've talked about that on the podcast a couple different times. You know, you've had, you know, your names like Oracle and Broadcom, these companies that are centric to the tech trade, the AI, you know, hype. They of course are also reliant on accommodative borrowing costs. We know central banks around the world can impact this, and the Bank of Japan, not least of which, it has a huge impact on global liquidity and financial conditions. What people were worried about going into this Bank of Japan meeting is essentially if the Bank of Japan were to really double down on the need for more urgent rate hikes. That's what people were worried about. And if we think about why that might be, if they hike interest rates, what does it do to the rest of the financial system? Well, we know that the global financial system is more interconnected than ever, and that what happens in Japan impacts other places, specifically in relation to the tech trade and crypto, which many listeners may care about, you know, just hearing about updates on this. Crypto has been really struggling because of worries around this Bank of Japan stuff. The basic mentality is people, specifically hedge funds, will borrow money from Japan at low interest rates, as you mentioned just kind of in your prelude there. You know, they offer very abnormally low interest rates to the rest of the world. And so there's been this arbitrage trade where people, investors through hedge funds, et cetera, will go to Japan, essentially borrow yen at low interest rates and deploy that capital elsewhere to capture some sort of higher yield or higher growth potential. Take, for example, if you were to borrow very low interest rates from Japan and employ that capital into U.S. tech stocks or Bitcoin or U.S. bonds or European bonds, somewhere where you could get some positive yield on your very low borrowed money or very low cost borrowed money, right? That's the idea. It's been a very popular trade for quite some time. Ever since the Japanese kind of fallout in the 90s, they have kept interest rates very low. And this carry trade thesis has been one that has been strong in markets for many years. You mentioned the 30-year high component is critical here, because think about that equation. Picture, listeners, if you were to picture yourself in this circumstance where, okay, you've borrowed money over here to deploy capital over here. Well, over here, let's say US, right? US is lowering interest rates. If you were to buy US bonds and the yield is lowering, right? Your payout is lowering. But at the same time, on the other hand, where you borrowed that money from, they're raising the borrowing cost, right? So you have less squeeze there in that trade. And so that is very important that we understand that, because it has massive implications to money flowing into risk assets like tech stocks and cryptocurrencies. Now, crypto has been disproportionately hurt by this, because if you were to have to put yourself back in that hypothetical scenario, unwind that trade that you have on, de-lever from that trade, it seems that investors are first and foremost willing to do so with the stuff that requires a lot of margin, high risk, highly volatile stuff like cryptocurrencies and tech stocks. So in the tech stock land, we've seen a little bit of jitters back and forth here recently. The NASDAQ hasn't really gone a whole lot of distance in the last 2 or 3 months. largely because of concerns around the AI jitters. But perhaps some of that culture of worrying about AI payout is also big term investors who are involved in the carry trade looking at this with some scrutiny, saying, hey, you know, my borrowing costs are going up. Where's these payouts, right, that we're looking for in the AI trade? So it's an interesting theme, and it actually just goes to show how interconnected the global financial system really is. Back to where we started with this, the Bank of Japan yesterday, why are tech stocks up today? Why is crypto up today? At the time of recording this, Bitcoin's up just shy of 4% on the day, with obviously the more volatile stuff like Ethereum, et cetera, even higher, Solana up 6%. Reason I think that's worth mentioning is because basically the Bank of Japan issued that they are going to hike rates, they hiked rates, but that they want to do it going forward at a slow and steady pace, that they are aware that they don't want to hurt the global financial system, that they do see the need to hike rates further. They're dealing with inflation. They're dealing with the yen being very, very weak, making imports very expensive to them. They want to hike rates, but they want to do so in a way that doesn't damage the global financial system, which is to no one's gain, right? That's the difficulty is you cause, you know, if they hike too quickly, they are aware that that could cause liquidity issues. And if they hike slowly and give people ample time to make adjustments, perhaps it doesn't mean some sort of big global financial fallout kind of scenario. So it's been interesting. A lot of drama around the Bank of Japan here recently, but for good reason. It's a very critical part to global liquidity in modern markets.
Very interesting, Nick. This time next week here in the UK, we would be on our second public holiday. So a fairly sparse, I would imagine, week of data to come.
Yes, for sure. When we look at what we have ahead next week, we have on Tuesday, December 23rd, here in the U.S., we'll have preliminary GDP numbers. Should be interesting to see what growth is looking like on that front. At the same time, you will have CAD GDP statistics. And if we roll forward, obviously, December 24th, that's going to be Christmas Eve. We are still scheduled to get unemployment claims on Wednesday, with the Bank of Japan Governor Ueda speaking again tentatively on Wednesday. So that could be interesting. Of course, December 25th is the Christmas holiday. We should be, or that's a bank holiday for many major banks. And if we take a look, that is pretty much going to wrap it up. So a very light economic data week for sure.
Excellent stuff, Nick. We shall speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.